This is David Wayne, and you're listening to Monitor, the best way to stay in the know while you're on the go each weekend. Where are the girls whom Ziegfeld glorified? Well, they're still around, many of them, and they hold regular get-togethers to discuss the good old days. We'll meet one and find out what ex-Ziegfeld girls remember about their days in the spotlight. That's later this half hour. Meanwhile, Jackie Gleason provides some traveling music as his orchestra does one of those songs. Monitor News Feature. For an analysis of President Johnson's visit to Mexico, here is Charles Murphy, NBC News in San Antonio.
President Johnson relaxed in the warm sunshine of his ranch today and reflected happily on his triumphant visit to Mexico. He is deeply pleased with his reception there, but believes the visit provided important meaning for our future relations with Mexico and Latin America. His new secretary, Bill Moyers, made this evaluation after talking with Mr. Johnson several times.
To say that the president is pleased with his trip to Mexico is an understatement. He was deeply impressed by the intense and enthusiastic response of the people. But he also believes that the visit goes beyond that personal response. He sees it, in fact, as an important step towards the resolution of issues that affect the countries of this hemisphere. He believes that the affection and goodwill represented by the response of the people of Mexico City to his visit can be translated into concrete progress on the problems and issues we face. The president believes that his trip to Mexico City accelerated two major courses of action in the hemisphere. The first is the possibility of a summit meeting between the chiefs of state of the countries of the hemisphere to move forward important programs in economic, social, and political reform. He also believes that the impetus of his speech at Mexico City will bring about possibly a quicker completion of the Pan-American Highway. The president believes that this kind of informal personal diplomacy is the best way to get at the heart of complex and difficult issues which must be faced between governments. I know that he feels that the wheels of diplomacy often turn on small bearings, and that there are times when only the two presidents of the countries involved can oil those bearings and resolve the problems.
The summit conference is still a long time off, The White House believes it will not be held for at least a year because Moyer said it would take at least that long for the countries involved to prepare for it. What is President Johnson trying to do? It's understood Mr. Johnson wants to reshape the Alliance for Progress. He believes the time has come for its overhaul in the light of new conditions and policies since it was founded by President Kennedy. Mr. Johnson is looking forward to at least two more visits with Mexico's President Díaz Ordaz. One of these might be held along the Mexican-Texas border, perhaps a visit to the Amistad Dam on the Rio Grande River and to the Big Bend National Park further upstream. The purpose would be to assess the recreational opportunities for citizens of both countries living in these areas. The meeting would be very informal. The president also hopes to make a state visit to Mexico at some future time. In the meantime, he may send Mrs. Johnson on a swing through Central America. She and he gathered some ideas for such a trip when they talked with the Mexicans at lunch on Friday. All of these visits would be building up to the important summit conference a year or so from now. The president is groping for new relationship with Latin America. When the summit conference comes, he may well be ready to announce that new policy to Latin America and the rest of the world. Charles Murphy, NBC News, San Antonio, reporting for Monitor.
For the latest developments in all national and world news throughout the weekend, stay tuned to Monitor.
Our favorite song tears me all apart. I think of love and a broken heart. Why did she ever go? Someday soon, maybe she'll come home, and then I won't be so all alone. Who'd ever think that a song would make everything go so wrong? Don't let the music play.
John Gary's latest song, Don't Let the Music Play. But much as we love John, we can't take his admonition seriously because we'll need the music when Connie Francis sings again. 1 minute from now, right here on the Monitor Beacon. David Wayne, your host, as Monitor continues with another song that's perfect for making the miles and the moments pass pleasantly. Connie Francis sings, Love Is Me, Love Is You.
Come on, baby, let's tell all the people we found a way to end the blues. Let's get together and just start a rumor that everyone will think is news. Love is more, love is fine, love is yours, love is is free, love is true, love is me, love is you. Come on, baby, let's tell all the people that love is such a wonderful thing. Let's get together and just start a notion that everybody else can sing. Love is warm, love is fine, love is yours, love is mine, love is free, love is true, love is me, love is you. Come on, baby, let's tell all the people that love will never pass you by. Let's get together and just start a habit that everybody else can try. Love is warm, love is fine, love is yours, love is mine, love is free, love is true, love is me, love is you.
What are the possibilities of a woman achieving any real stature in the arts comparable to a Horowitz, a Shakespeare, or a Michelangelo? Well, Arlene Francis has some interesting arguments both for and against the possibility, and she'll share them with you Monday on Emphasis. You can hear Emphasis Monday through Friday on NBC, and you should. Other regulars include Jed Huntley, Merrill Muller, Barbara Walters, Bill Cullen, Frank Blair. For stimulating, informative listening, try Emphasis, weekdays on NBC Radio.
Some people run, some people crawl, some people don't even move at all. Some roads lead home, some roads some roads are bathed in light, some wrapped in fearful black. Time, time, where did you go? Time, oh good, good time. Some people never get, some never give, some people never die, and some never live. Some folks treat me mean, some treat me kind. Most folks just go their way, don't pay me any mind. Time, oh time, where did you go? Time, oh good, good time, where did you go? Sometimes I'm satisfied, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes my face is cold, sometimes it's hot. At sunset I laugh, at sunrise I cry. at night I'm in between and wondering why. Tom, oh Tom,
sound of the Pozo Seco singers. Florence Ziegfeld is the showman who's generally given the most credit for, as he himself put it, glorifying the American girl. Ziegfeld glorified her by dressing her in several pounds of jewels or sequins, a bushel of pink ostrich feathers, but always draping the feminine form for the maximum effect. Add to this soft lights, beautiful sets, lovely music. The theme always was a pretty girl, and you've got the general idea of what Ziegfeld did for his girls. There's a growing tradition among the alumni to get together for regular meetings to talk about the good old days. One such chapter of Ziegfeld girl groups is in Hollywood, and Mrs. Bernice Jansen, a member in good standing, and the mother of actor David Jansen, by the way, talks about its activities in this chat with Monitor reporter Roy Neal.
Mrs. Jansen, how many ex-Ziegfeld girls are there in the Hollywood community?
In the Hollywood chapter, the ones we know about and are members, there's about 35.
Are there more, perhaps?
There are more around that just don't care to be counted. I think they'd rather not be known as the Ziegfeld girl. That's quite a few years back, you know. In fact, the minute I say that I'm a Ziegfeld girl, they say you can't be. And what do you want to say so far?
I must admit, you don't look old enough to be a Ziegfeld girl.
Well, I don't feel old enough, but I was there.
How do you get together? Is it on a formal basis or just...
No, informal. Mm-hmm. People, different homes, and Mrs. Dr. Bartosz, his wife, has a beautiful home on Highland Avenue, and we meet there a lot.
Well, what do ex-Ziegfeld girls talk about when they get together?
I'll tell you, they all... Everybody remembers, but me, I choose to... think of now as the best time of my life. But the majority of them dream of the past. Mm-hmm. And they go through all the little scenes and the dances, and they still do very well. And they have each meeting, we play A Pretty Girl Is Like a Melody, and when they feel like it, they get up and they walk around and they go through the... It's really quite funny. We have a couple of proteges who are about 28 to 34 years old, girls, and they sit around and they laugh. They say they can't believe it. Is this the way they act? And I said, looked much better when we were younger. You know what I mean.
You mentioned that you'd cared not to share your memories of the past because you're too active in the present.
Yes.
You're active in pictures now, aren't you?
Right. And I feel much better about now than then. It was sort of all I was in a dream. I was much, believe it or not, too young to really appreciate it. I know it was a great honor, and I was picked by Mr. Ziegfeld from the Miss Universe contest. But it was like a dream then. Now, it doesn't seem any greater to me now than it does to the new children coming up who never heard of the Ziegfeld Club.
Do you think perhaps that Hollywood today might be somewhat dreamlike to the newcomers of this day?
Yes, I think that's it, probably. They dream of now, and possibly Las Vegas and the showgirls. They go there and they see those girls which had a semblance of what we did, and they idolize those girls. But we had a big publicity, and he picked his girls very carefully, and we had no outside interest whatsoever while we're on the show. If you went out and got intoxicated, you were put off the show. He would not allow it ever. Never were we allowed to be in the sun. Nobody was ever suntan. We were snow white. It's the way he liked us.
Well, thank you, ma'am. We've been talking about the Ziegfeld girls with someone who really knows she was one, Mrs. Bernice Jansen, whose son David Jansen's a very big star, while she herself continues her career in pictures. This is Roy Neal in Hollywood for Monitor. Thank you.
Da Go Go, and it's by Lalo Schifrin's orchestra. Monitor on the Go Go all weekend, so that no matter where you are, if you're listening to Monitor, you're automatically at home. Eastern Tennessee hears us on WATE Knoxville. Hello, Knoxville, and all stations northeast, south, and west. After you all sign in, we'll be back. This is David Wayne.
At home or on the road, stay with Monitor on the NBC Radio Network.
This is David Wayne, and you're with Monitor 66, the program that answers the question, will a wild snake brave a ring of flame to attack you? Cornel Wilde, actor and producer of films shot in Africa, gives you the answer to that question, along with other exciting facts about making a movie in jungle country, as soon as the Mexicali singers tune up and tee off on Spanish Flea. Actor Cornel Wilde is now actor-producer-director Cornel Wilde. He recently filmed an adventure movie in Africa titled The Naked Prey. He's the kind of movie maker who believes that, given the proper story, crew, and overall organization, good films can be made anywhere in the world. On-location shooting in a spot like Africa does have its moments of anxiety, however, as Mr. Wilde points out in his chat with Monitor reporter Brad Crandall.
Cornel, you shot film in some pretty wild and wonderful locations. And yeah. I assume that you've had a few exotic problems. I heard something about the golden cobra. What was this?
Well, on the second day of shooting, our unit manager was bitten by a cobra. We had a doctor with us, or actually doctors in relays throughout the whole film, because if we hadn't had doctors present all the time, I think we would have lost 6 or 7 men on the film. But the whole thing was so exciting from start to finish. And there were so many marvelous things around that I was sort of sorry when it was over, despite all the problems.
Well, now, when this fellow was bitten by this cobra, was it one that you were using for some reason or other in the film?
Yes. In the film, an ivory hunting safari sets out from a British fort 100 years ago. This is not Africa today, but 100 years ago. And after several days out, they have an encounter with some warriors who ask for gifts for their chief, and the other man, who is the part owner of the safari, won't give them gifts, and I, who understand the ways of these people, want to.
Uh-huh.
And he just knocks the sub-chief out of his way, and we go on. Then, in reprisal, when we have elephants and ivory being cleaned, this tribe ambushes the safari, and they take us back to their village, the few survivors, And the various captives are put to death in different ways. And one of them, who my partner in the safari, who hit the sub-chief, is killed by a cobra, which, they really throw at him. In the course of shooting that, the cobra found a little way out between two logs that weren't burning properly, and, we had this village with hundreds and hundreds of people. I was on the camera side with a spear, keeping him away from us and from the actor who was facing the cobra. And the snake handler and the unit manager were on the other side with sacks and sticks and whatnot. And he went so fast that the unit manager missed with the burlap bag, and the cobra bit him twice on the hand before the snake handler grabbed him with another sack. The doctor immediately applied a tourniquet and they gave him an injection, and he lived. But without that, he would have been dead in a half hour. Well, we had a series of things because it was the nature of the film. It's a way out kind of story of survival and pursuit. The last man of the captives is the part I play. Because he behaved well with them, they give him one chance. They set him free, strip him naked first, and then set him free and send him out across the bush. And the 10 best warriors of the tribe hunt him as if he were an animal. And he becomes the naked prey.
I realize this question seems out of context, but did you bring back any pets?
Well, I tell you, I wanted to bring back an African chameleon, but it was so difficult because of weather problems. I didn't want it to die, but they make marvelous pets. And they're the cutest little things. They have ball-bearing eyes. The whole thing is green. And the eye itself is covered in this green, leathery-looking stuff. And in the middle of this ball, there's a little pupil. And he looks like the man on the cover of Esquire, but all green. And you put them up on a shelf in your tent or whatever, and they cock their heads, and that eye rolls down and looks at you, and the other eye is looking at something else.
Because just charming, yes. I can see where you want one of those around all the time.
Well, they have two brains, and they can actually understand and be wary of two separate things at the same time with the two different eyes.
If you teach one to talk, he could play Hamlet all by himself. Couldn't he be beautiful?
Yes, a double soliloquy.
We've been talking with actor Cornell Wilde, who's added two more titles to his filmmaking experience, those of producer and director. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Brad. It's been a pleasure.
It's just a well-remembered, highly thought-of love affair. A brief encounter that was bound to end one day. It's just a well-remembered, funny sort of love affair. And I might have known my dreams would end this way. From the first time that I met you, I fell in love with you. And I thought that you were so in love with me. But you tell me now it's over, and there's nothing I can do. And as far as you're concerned, it's plain to see. It's just a well-remembered, highly thought-of love affair. A brief encounter that was bound to end one day. It's just a well-remembered, funny sort of love affair. I might have known my dreams would end this way. I remember how you told me that your love was really sure. I believed that you and I would never part. But you played around with me the way you often did before. There was nothing there at all right from the start. It's just a well-remembered, highly thought-of love affair. A brief encounter that was bound to end one day. It's just a well-remembered, funny sort of love affair. And I might have known my dreams.
just don't well remember. I just thought of a screenshot.